What's up, Rams fans, and welcome to a very special post-NFL draft edition of the Rams Wire podcast. I'm your host, as always, Cameron DeSilva. You can follow us on Twitter at the Rams Wire, and you can follow me at Kim DeSilva. We're coming at you with another episode after the NFL draft wrapped up on Saturday. The Rams made 11 picks, added to their depth, added a couple potential starters. So they had a nice weekend, even though they didn't have a first or second round pick. But they did come away with some nice talent in the third, fourth, fifth, and the later rounds in the draft. They went into the weekend only having picks in the third, fourth, and sixth round, and they wound up having a pick in every round but the first and second. So some good movement by Les Snead, both up and down the board, to get guys that he really coveted and prospects that he liked a lot for the team. And it really worked out in their favor. We also had news of the Tavon Austin trade on Saturday. They sent him to the Cowboys. So we'll touch on that a little bit. Talk about one of the best undrafted free agent signings that they had over the weekend after the draft. And really just break down some of the fits for some of the players that they drafted and things like that. So without further ado, we'll get into the draft. If you didn't watch or you haven't been following around, the Rams made 11 picks. They started out with 11, but Les Snead moved back and forth in the fourth round, fifth round, things like that. And they wound up making 11 selections. So in the third round, they took Joseph Noteboom. He's a tackle out of TCU. Then in the fourth round, they took Brian Allen, who's a center out of Michigan State. Another fourth round pick they had was John Franklin Myers out of Stephen F. Austin. He's a defensive end. A little bit of a questionable prospect where you didn't really know much about him. In the fifth round, they took Micah Kizer, who's a guy I liked a lot. He's an inside linebacker out of Virginia, and they got him in round five. I would have been happy if they took him in the third round, so good value there. Then again in the fifth round, they took Obo Okoronkwo out of Oklahoma. He's an outside linebacker. He's another guy who I thought they might take in the third round, so great value there in the fifth round. The sixth round, they made four picks. They got John Kelly, a running back out of Tennessee, Jamil Demby out of Maine. He's a guard. Sebastian Joseph is a defensive tackle, a little bit undersized out of Rutgers. And then Trevon Young out of Louisville, who's a defensive end, kind of stand-up outside linebacker. It depends on where they're going to play him. And then in round seven, which the Rams had got these picks by trading back, they didn't originally have them. But Traven Howard out of TCU, he's a linebacker, safety hybrid, and then Justin Lawler, who's a defensive end out of SMU. So that basically wrapped up their draft haul with those players. Mostly focused on the defense. Obviously, that was kind of expected with Brandon Cooks coming over as with the first round pick as a wide receiver starting guy. And then the offensive line and really the rest of the offense was structurally sound. They had good players at just about every level, the quarterback position, running back. Obviously, they did pick a couple of offensive linemen and a running back, but that's more for depth and potentially as future backups and potentially starters. So after running through that, I'll talk a little bit about how much I liked each pick, whether I think it was good value or a little bit of a reach, and then kind of just go from there. So with Noteboom, the Rams took him at 89. They traded back to get him from 87, only a couple spots. I think it was the Raiders that wanted to come up and get a guy. I think that was when Arden Key was selected. So obviously the Rams weren't high on him, otherwise they would have taken him in that third round. So the Rams traded back, took Noteboom. He's an athletic tackle out of TCU. He can play both left and right tackle, which is a plus for the Rams because Andrew Whitworth and Rob Havenstein are not necessarily questions for 2019. Havenstein is a free agent, but Whitworth being 36 years old, you don't really know how much longer he's going to play. So who knows about that, but Noteboom gives them good depth as a swing tackle right now. I think he'll probably eventually take over for Darrell Williams and Cornelius Lucas as kind of the swing tackle on both the left and right side. So good depth there immediately. And then in 2019, the Rams obviously hope he's going to take over as a starter. Ideally, that would be at right tackle for Havenstein initially, allowing the Rams to obviously save some money and not have to pay him a ton of money. But then maybe in 2020, he kicks over to the left side and becomes the future at left tackle. So that's kind of where they're at with him. Ryan Allen, I wasn't high on him. To be honest, I didn't know much about him when the Rams did make the pick. After they took a tackle in the first round, I was kind of shocked to see them go back to the offensive line and with their next pick, just because I thought outside linebacker and inside linebacker were bigger needs for them at the time. And with so many good edge rushers, whether it was Okoronkwo, I don't remember exactly who else was on the board, Josh Sweat, I believe. So it was a bit surprising to see them go after another offensive lineman, especially someone who they probably could have gotten in a little bit of the later rounds, maybe the fifth or sixth round. But he's a little bit smaller to play center. He can play both left guard and right guard too. So really what the Rams did was, with Noteboom and Allen, draft two players who can play. Noteboom can play either tackle spot, and then Allen can handle duties on the interior, where he can play guard, center, any of those spots. Which so basically it gives them depth with only two players. That's not to say they're gonna do anything with Austin Blythe or move on from him or anything, but they did add some nice depth at in both spots on the offensive line, both inside and outside. I would have waited a little bit longer probably to take Allen, but they obviously saw him as a good value. They met with him. They saw him at the Senior Bowl, so they went ahead and took him. Not my favorite pick, but it's hard to argue after the Rams did get their linebackers in the fifth round. The next pick was John Franklin Myers. He's a defensive end out of Stephen F. Austin, another really unknown player. Not much info about him. He was really viewed as like a seventh round prospect or possibly an undrafted free agent. So I guess you could say it's a little bit of a reach in the fourth round, but they like his versatility. He can stand up and play outside linebacker. Probably fits best as a defensive end, kind of a Michael Brockers type player, where he can line up at defensive end, five technique, and rush against opposing offensive tackles and guards on the edge. As far as whether I would have taken him there, probably not. Again, there were so many good edge rushers on the board. I think I would have gone that route there. And possibly gotten John Franklin Myers a little bit later, but so that's where they went with the fourth round pick, and then in round five really is where the Rams got their best value and hit a home run in the draft. Micah Kizer is a really physical linebacker. He's if this draft were 20 years ago, he would have gone in the first two rounds, I think, because he's such a physical linebacker who loves to fill the hole. Brings down ball carriers. He was a tackling machine at Virginia. The past 3 years, he led the ACC in tackles each year, and he joins Luke Kuechly as the only other player to do that. So you can see how well he plays the run and makes a ton of tackles for the Cavaliers defense, and he hopes to bring that to the Rams now. He does have a little bit of a blockade in front of him with a few linebackers who are projected to start. You have Mark Barron, you have Corey Littleton, Ronnie Wilson, who they signed this week, this offseason. So there are really now four players who could start at inside linebacker, and two of those guys are going to have to sit because the Rams are in a 3-4 defense. You really only have two inside linebackers on the field and possibly only one on sub packages. So Kizer does have a steep hill to climb to earn a starting role, especially on sub packages. But he can blitz, he can play the run. Not that great moving backwards away from the ball, where he's got to drop into coverage and things like that. But he definitely has a skill set that Wade Phillips likes in inside linebackers, where he's best playing downhill and really fills holes and has good gap discipline to play against the run. So I like that pick a lot. I would have taken him possibly in the third round. So to get him in the fifth is that's really good value. And then 13 picks later, the Rams moved up for Okoronkwo. He's obviously the outside linebacker out of Oklahoma. He played all over the Oklahoma defense, really. He put his hand in the dirt, was a stand-up linebacker on the outside. So he can do a lot of different things. In his post-draft press conference, conference call, he talked about how the Rams see him as really a Robert Quinn replacement. So he's going to be doing a lot of those things, basically just rushing the passer. Quinn didn't drop back into coverage that often with the Rams, and when you're a relentless pass rusher and someone who can really get after the quarterback, why would you drop him into coverage and have him try to match up against tight ends and running backs and things like that? So Okoronkwo is probably not going to do much of that. He's best suited moving forward towards the quarterback, towards the line of scrimmage. He's a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year at Oklahoma, shared that honor with Malik Jefferson out of Texas. So he had a really good season in 2017. And if not for concerns about his height, he's a little bit on the shorter side. I think he's 6'2". He probably would have gone much earlier than he did. So he's a similar size to Von Miller, which is interesting because Von did have so much success under Wade Phillips in Denver. But the fact that he has such good production out of Oklahoma, he's a guy who, playing against those Big 12 pass-heavy offenses, he has a lot of experience going after the quarterback. So Wade Phillips gets his guy there. He even sent out a tweet after the draft, oh boy, with kind of a play on words with Okoronkwo's nickname, which is Oboe. So he's obviously excited about that selection. He'll join Samson Ebukam and Matt Longacre at outside linebacker. Those are going to be really the Rams' primary pass rushers on the outside. So he definitely has a chance to carve out a role immediately as either a situational pass rusher or a potential starter. He's someone who a lot of analysts were high on. They thought he was one of the 5 to 10 best pass rushers in the draft. So to get him in the fifth round again, like Kaiser is, it's really good value. After seeing them go offensive line with their first two picks, the Rams had to have been thrilled to see Kaiser and Okoronkwo, who are two guys who visited pre-draft and were the Rams showed a lot of interest in during the pre-draft process. They had to be thrilled to see two guys that they're really familiar with sitting there in the fifth round for them to take. So, and then moving on to the sixth round, the Rams made four picks, obviously. John Kelly was the first. He's a running back out of Tennessee. Some people want to compare him to Alvin Kamara. I think that's a little bit of a steep claim. He does have good receiving skills. He is a little bit smaller for the position, but when you watch him play, he's not afraid of contact. He lowers his shoulders into defenders and isn't afraid to really just play physically. There's one highlight that I think Josh Norris tweeted of him really just rolling over a defender and making it look so easy. So that's something that the Rams are going to like a lot about his game. They do have, obviously, Todd Gurley and Malcolm Brown. So Kelly is going to have to compete with Justin Davis, most likely, to be the number three running back. But I trust him more than I probably trust Brown as far as Todd Gurley possibly going down and needing someone to replace him. He has good receiving skills, like I said. He's not afraid to run between the tackles, and he's really an electrifying athlete. Even though he did run, I think it was a 4.65 at the combine, he has a good skill set to become a three-down back for the Rams should Gurley ever go down, knock on wood. So, and then moving on into the sixth round, it's Jamil Demby. He was a guard out of Maine. He was one of those late visitors in the pre-draft process. The Rams did host him for an official top 30 visit. Not much info on him because he did play at Maine, so he played against lower competition. But he did perform well at the Senior Bowl. That's somewhere that the Rams really like to look for their prospects and really take advantage of the looks that they can get from players in Mobile. So he's a player who can play center. He was a left tackle in college, and now he's probably most likely going to play guard for the Rams. So that's taking a sixth rounder, you're really just banking on potential. He's not a great athlete, I don't believe. So where he fits in is kind of unclear initially, but he does have the good potential, I guess, to potentially take over for a guy like Roger Saffold or Jamon Brown, who both are going to hit free agency next offseason. So the Rams obviously feel that the offensive line is a bit in flux beyond this season. So taking a guy in the sixth round to possibly become a starter down the line, it's not really a bad strategy to have. Continuing, you had Sebastian Joseph, who's a defensive tackle out of Rutgers. They took him 195th overall. So he's a little bit undersized. I think he's only about 300 pounds to play nose tackle. Maybe the Rams are going to put him at three technique like they do with Donald, let him rush the passer a little bit there. But with Sue only being on a one-year contract, they could be looking at depth inside in the middle at nose tackle. And perhaps Sebastian Joseph is going to be a guy who can take over that role in 2019. Tanzel Smart is there. Tyron Walker is a free agent. So really they need to find players who can fill in as soon as possible after Sue does leave. And maybe that's where they're looking with Joseph. Trevon Young is a defensive end out of Louisville. Athletic guy, really long and lanky. Good length for the position, which obviously helps when it comes to disengaging with blockers and things like that. So I think they'll give him a chance at outside linebacker with guys like Okoronkwo, Abukum, Matt Longacre. So I think he's going to get a shot there. Whether he sticks around is kind of unclear at this point. The Rams do have a lot of players on the roster right now where it's going to be difficult to really find true value and starting potential in any of these late round picks, just because you do have so many players who are already proven from last season. You have late round picks from last year where you want to give them another chance. So he's going to really enter a camp battle and try to find a fit, whether it's a defensive end or outside linebacker. And then in the final round, Traven Howard, he's an outside linebacker out of TCU. Really, he's probably going to play inside linebacker for the Rams, potentially move to safety. He's kind of he's a similar player to Mark Barron in the fact that he can play both positions. Barron obviously was a former safety converted to linebacker. But if the Rams do want to play him inside and in the box, he's going to need to bulk up a little bit. I think he's only about 210 pounds, so a little bit on the smaller side to play inside linebacker, but he is a good athlete. I think he ran a 4.65 or 4.5 something at the combine. So he does have good athleticism. He can go sideline to sideline. And really, he called himself a ball hawk, where he's going to see the ball and go after it. That's something that the Rams need from their run defenders, because they were terrible against the run last season. I think they ranked 28th in yards per carry allowed. And then finally, their last pick was Justin Lawler. They moved back and forth a little bit in the seventh round. At one point, they had Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick in the draft. So they moved up a little bit and kept the pick for Justin Lawler, defensive end out of SMU. Another player who his fit is going to be kind of determined as we go on. He played defensive end at SMU, but in a 3-4 defense, he could potentially stand up and be kind of an outside pass rusher, or put his hand in the dirt and play defensive end like Brockers. The Rams might want to rotate their defensive linemen, even though they do have Brockers, Sue, and Donald. They might want to kind of give guys more of a chance, give their starters a rest a little bit. So he's a guy who will most likely just be in a rotation early on and potentially try to fight off other players at the same position for a spot on the roster. A couple of thoughts from the draft. The fact that they passed on outside linebacker and inside linebacker so early, despite only having a third round pick, I was a little bit surprised. That's not to say that they were low on guys like Key or Okoronkwo or Josh Sweat or anyone like that. But they obviously were higher on those offensive linemen, and they had them higher ranked on their board. So It appears that they stuck to their board, went with the best players available, and kind of set aside their needs for the upcoming season at linebacker. They did need inside and outside linebackers, but maybe they feel good about guys like Samson Ebukam and Matt Longacre. Whoever wins that starting job, it remains to be seen, and no one really knows who it's going to be just yet. But they do have good competition now after the draft. The fact that they did move up for Okoronkwo is a sign that they liked him a lot. Whether he was going to be around in the sixth round when the Rams, I think, were scheduled to have their next pick, who knows? But the fact that they moved up for him in the fifth round suggests that he was a player that Wade Phillips liked a lot. Obviously, Sean McVay has a say in that too, and Les Snead. So the fact that they moved up for him is a good sign for what they think of his ability and where he fits into the Rams defense. They traded back for Joseph Noteboom, which means they were confident that neither the Raiders nor the team behind them were going to take Noteboom, and that he'd be available at number 89. He seemed to be their number one target there, so they felt comfortable moving back, and that helped them really pick up a couple of picks as far as moving back in the draft a few more times. They started with 8 picks, like I said, and then they finished with 11, which is one of the bigger draft hauls in the NFL. So for not having a first or second round pick, that's a pretty good amount of trades for the Rams to make to really add a few extra picks. As far as their wide receiver room and cornerbacks, I thought those were two positions that the Rams might look at. They had a few pre-draft visits with wide receivers and cornerbacks, even though they do have Brandon Cooks and Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib that they all acquired this offseason. I thought maybe they would kind of look to add a little bit of depth at either spot, protect against the chance that Cooks would leave in free agency or that Peters wouldn't really live up to the hype that he received after Rams did trade for him. He's under contract through 2019 with the fifth-year option, but the Rams, he's going to be a pricey player who it remains to be seen if the Rams are going to pay him. He deserves every penny that he's going to get, especially if he plays well this season. But the Rams, I thought, maybe would look at kind of players at that position who could take over potentially in 2019. Aqib Talib's getting up there in age. I think he's only signed through 2019. So I thought maybe they would take a look at some of the defensive backs. Dane Cruikshank was a guy that they hosted, I believe, for a pre-draft visit. So I thought maybe they would look at cornerbacks, but evidently they didn't, which shows that they feel good about the players that they do have at each position. So moving on from the draft into the undrafted free agent pool, the Rams have signed, I think, 9 players and then invited one other to a minicamp tryout type thing. But the headliner of the group was Tigre Scales out of Indiana. He's a player who I thought might go in the fifth or sixth round, and he wound up going undrafted. So the Rams signed him, added another linebacker to the room and to the defense. He's not a great athlete. He ran, I think, a 4.77 at the combine. So there are some speed and athletic concerns when it comes to his game. But in a 3-4 defense, you don't necessarily need to be the most athletic guy. You need to be physical, strong, take on blocks, things like that. And that's something that he does a lot of. He's an extremely instinctive player when you watch him play. He's able to diagnose the play, really take the right path and to the ball carrier and bring him down in the open field. He fits best as a Sam inside linebacker, so lining up really over the tight ends and things like that, taking on the heavier part of the offensive line. And he has a good motor for the position, so he fits well with what the Rams want. I thought maybe he'd be someone that they targeted in the later rounds. So he really a good value as an undrafted free agent where they don't have to spend a draft pick on him and they get him on the roster for now, and potentially have him as a guy who can compete for a starting job. this season's going to be a little bit of a stretch for him to be a starter, but he'll definitely have a chance in 2019 when you could see them move on from Mark Barron and possibly have Scales and Kaiser as the two inside starting linebackers. So really good value as an undrafted free agent. He's a guy who not a lot of undrafted free agents make the final roster necessarily, but he's definitely a guy who has a chance to make the 53-man roster when the season does come around. And then obviously the biggest news, I would say, out of draft weekend was the Rams trading Tavon Austin. That happened on Saturday. It kind of came out of the blue, like Les Snead said, where they were receiving a lot of calls about him throughout the offseason, but they weren't really finding any suitors as far as trade partners go. Teams were kind of inquiring and seeing if the Rams were really going to release him. They wound up restructuring his contract to convert $3 million into incentives to kind of protect themselves against the fact that he might have another bad season in 2018 and not really produce like he should be. So they paid him $4 million already. That was a roster bonus. And then he had another $1 million coming in a base salary. So really the Rams, when you include that $3 million in incentives and then the $1 million base salary, they protected themselves against having to pay him an additional $4 million to make it a total of $8 million in 2018. So they traded him to the Cowboys. They got a sixth round pick back in return. He wasn't a fit for the offense. Les Snead said after the draft that the trade kind of, or his fit in the offense came down to the fact that he had a wrist surgery and a wrist injury last offseason, caused him to miss some time with Sean McVay coming in as a new head coach. And then in training camp, he couldn't beat out the other receivers on the roster and really carve out a role. They traded for Sammy Watkins. They signed Robert Woods, drafted Cooper Kupp. So all the signs were there that he might not have a huge role in 2018 with Sean McVay coming in. But he was relegated to a backup running back role, really. I don't think he ran many routes downfield at all that I saw. And he really went from being a wide receiver to just an offensive guy who would take jet sweeps around the edge. He would take handoffs out of the backfield and really just play a handful of snaps each game. I think he only played something like 220 snaps, which is like 20% of the season's total on offense. So it's really difficult to pay a player like that potentially $8 million to stay on the roster, where you can trade him, get a draft pick back. Even though it is only a sixth rounder, you shed yourself of at least $1 million, potentially another $3 million. So it was a smart trade, I guess you could say, for the Rams, because they do kind of put that whole story to rest. There's been a lot of criticism about the fact that they paid him $42 million two off seasons ago, and now he's just, he kind of fell through the cracks and wasn't really a big part of the offense. So why not trade him and get a sixth round pick? Potentially one of these guys could hit and have a bigger impact than he would have had. They do have Farrell Cooper in the mix, who didn't play a ton of offensive snaps. I think he only played slightly more or slightly less than Tavon Austin last season, but he definitely is someone who has a good skill set, could potentially carve out a role that Tavon Austin had last season, and really become an offensive weapon for them, where he can take screen passes. He's obviously a dynamic punt and kick returner, and really just contribute on offense more. He's a substantially cheaper player than Austin was, so the Rams are saving money in that regard. And they're cutting down a roster spot where someone like John Kelly could potentially take that and become a number three running back, which is essentially what Tavon Austin was last offseason. So it's a money-saving move, it's a draft pick move, and it's a chance for them to open up a roster spot for someone else to have a chance to contribute. Sean McVay talked a lot about wanting to develop Austin into a true receiver and give him a chance in that regard, but that was probably never going to happen. They were probably going to look at releasing him or trading him like they did, and trying to recoup some of that, a draft pick or some additional money. So that's kind of where that move came from, and really it ends an era for Tavon Austin in Los Angeles and St. Louis after he was a first-round pick just a few years ago. So a disappointing career a little bit for the Rams, but he did have some nice highlight plays and punt returns and kick returns that fans will probably remember for a little while. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Rams Wire podcast. There shouldn't be too much going on this next week or the next 2 weeks with the Rams in minicamp and OTAs and things like that. But things will pick up in May and June as we roll into the off season and head into training camp in July. So stay locked into the ramswire.com. Like I said, you can follow us at the Ramswire and follow me at Cam DeSilva. And we'll catch up with you guys next time.